Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening. Welcome to another edition of the New Africa Black Belt Wall Street Business Association Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Bilal Masadiq Bynum, along with my co-host. Let me get over here before you speak, along with my co-host.
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Bilal Abdul Aziz Shaheed here. How are you today, my brother?
Everything's fine, Brother Aziz. How are you?
Alhamdulillah. Doing well today. Feeling okay, my brother.
Excellent.
Getting ready for an exciting show tonight.
Well, hopefully it would be both stimulating and informative. We're going to come back and find out in just a moment, but we're going to go to a sponsor break, giving our audience a chance to dial in. So be right back. Ready? Right back to the sponsor break.
Bynum & Associates Financial Planning and Insurance. Immediate annuities. Retirees, roll over your 401ks, TSPs, and pension plans into an immediate annuity. It will pay you a monthly income for life guaranteed. Please contact me for a free income quote today. At Bynum & Associates, we'll professionally mind your business. Visit us online at www.BynumAssociatesInsurance.com or give us a call at 202-288-5660 or 301-234-9090. Natural Skincare by Karima with Shea Butter. We offer a great selection of 100% all-natural moisturizing creams for the face and body without preservatives. Also, check out our hair products. Order online and get them delivered to your home. Check out our new online shop at www.etsy.com. Search for Natural Skincare by KHB. For more information, visit us online at www.naturalskincarebykarima.com or email us at naturalskincarebykarima@gmail.com. Give us a call at 301-534-4475 or fax us at 240-318-3537. Try out our newest product, our Peppermint Foot Rub, for a luxurious feeling your feet won't forget.
Thank you. And welcome back to Black Belt Wall Street New Africa Business Association. Again, myself and my co-host, Brother Aziz. Our title this evening is The Black Dollar Being Deposited into U.S. Banks with No Withdrawals and Certainly No Returns. So we're going to, but first of all, let me make certain all of my state directors to thank Brother Rashid out of the state of Delaware. Are you with us?
Yes, sir, Brother. Assalamu alaikum to you and Brother Aziz. I'm here.
Yes. Salam, Brother Rashid.
Walaikum salam, Brother Rashid. And so, yes, we are. We will be your hosts for the evening. And of course, make certain our Oklahoma host, Sister Williams, are you with us? Sister Williams out of Oklahoma, are you with us? Okay, well, she will hopefully come on. And as all of our directors come on, we will make note. But anyway, back to our topic tonight, the black dollar being deposited into U.S. banks with no withdrawals. I know that it's like a general statement, but it's not. Brother Aziz and myself attended a call from the President of the United States where he was inviting business members to come to a commercial introduction presentation that would be empowering the disadvantaged and those who have been discriminated against. Let me just read those that was invited it says here that they're inviting the Muslim American business faith-based community. I'll read that again. The Muslim American business faith-based community. Brother Aziz, I'll be coming on, but I can tell you right now, my opening remarks, and I'll switch it over to him, and then we'll go to our mics. But the opening remarks, first of all, this, Muslim American business community. Brothers and sisters, we went to the meeting, but African Americans, to be straight up with you, was not invited to this meeting. We got into the meeting because of our radio show, and those who have been listening to the show, and an anonymous person sent their names in, and of course, after they called and interviewed us, they was welcoming. We got welcomed to the show, but I say African Americans because this is a show. I say show. I'm sorry. This is a meeting that was called for by the Biden administration, our president, to empower the low and disadvantages of those who have been discriminated against. All of the participants that was invited to this meeting was foreigners. Muslims, but none of them, some of them barely could speak English. Most of them was from the state of Michigan, the Ohio's, and a distance from D.C., but they were all foreigners. And there was no African, there was a Brother Aziz will explain because he did run into, I think, one. But this meeting was never intended for African Americans, even though it's being sponsored in our government agencies that we pay taxes and we work in every day. The Department of Commerce, the Department of State, the USDA, FEMA, the list goes on and on. All of these agencies was at this meeting, and all of them delivered the same message, that they had billions of dollars to appropriate to the disadvantage of our communities. And I expect the Department of Commerce, the business department, to say they had billions of dollars. But when all those other agencies said the same thing, FEMA, all of them, Homeland Security, all of them, has got billions of dollars for the communities, and especially they use the African-American community because, of course, they know that's the biggest community as far as disadvantage. But again, there are no African-Americans to such an important meeting has been sent misinformation. None of the churches or nobody in our communities. But we got it again because someone sent in, because we have listeners now all over, right now we have listeners speaking to us in many parts of Africa. And I have Brother Aziz, he'll be on in a few moments. He has better statistics on that knowledge than I do, but many listeners. Our names were submitted. We was called an interview. We had to send bios and all of that in, which we did. But anyway, Brother Aziz and I went to the meeting Tuesday. And I went up in there. We went up in there. And to make a long story short, after a long days of listening to all of these things that the reasons why we can't get business loans, this is the Small Business Administration, and the Small Business Administration, they have these sponsors. And these sponsors are the ones that finance the Small Business Administration. So when you go get a loan from the Small Business Administration, they take your applications and talk to you about this and talk to you about that. Then they'll send you to a financial sponsor, which is a bank or financial, whatever, big, but that's where your money is going to come from. And many of them, most of them are banks. And these are the sponsors that that sponsors the SBA. So again, when you African Americans and all of these, these foreigners, because they didn't think there was supposed to be any African Americans, we were there. But these foreigners, they're telling them the same thing that I know we've been hearing for years. To make a long story short, your financials are not in order. And when banks tell you that your financials are not in order, 9 times out of 10, even though you have a business plan written out, but when it comes to the average African-American submitting a contract or a business plan and taking it to the bank, and then the bank turns you down, they tell you all about how wonderful you are, pat you on the back, what have you, but they turn you down because there are some mistakes. They will tell you in your processing. And those mistakes, I can tell you right now, comes out to be financials. And telling you this, that if you didn't have a professional CPA or a professional accountant doing your helping you with your application, 9 times out of 10 you're going to get, we've been turned down because of that, your financials. And I heard the same thing as far as that meeting last night with all those Arabs. I heard the bank telling them the same thing. But after listening most of the day and it came to the question session, I got up and I asked the question. And the question was this. Especially to all of those bankers that is sponsoring the SBA, the Small Business Administration, my question was to them, because like I said, I've heard this before. This wasn't the first time, and I told them 15 years ago, is with the SBA. And we heard the same things. Our financials wasn't in order. So as a financial planner, that's why I know I could give you an explanation about your financials. I've been through this with them, with many of my clients. And so, but in this case, I stood up and I asked the question. I said, first of all, I am an American. I am a taxpaying American, and so is my community. I said, you dare to have this type of important financial meeting about our communities and our recovery, but you're having it with foreigners, which means that you. But I ain't gonna get into what means, but you're having it with foreigners. I said, but in the meantime, African Americans, my community, when it comes to your banks, our churches and our masjids throughout this country is putting more than $1 trillion, and I know this as a fact because I looked up the statistics. It's putting up more than $1 trillion a year into your Caucasian banks, all of you, whatever you name your bank, and you're back in the SBA. I said, we're putting up more than $1 trillion a year into your banks. Now, you're telling me that an African-American whose money is in your bank, the money belongs to us, but when it comes to getting a loan for businesses, which is no more than a withdrawal of our own monies, you're telling me we have to go through all of these preliminaries, paperwork, being trained by somebody. And I said, I said, white folks put their monies in your banks, and after you send the monies to the Federal Reserve and the monies is cleared and it goes to the exchange commissioner, and that exchange commissioner sends those same deposits back to the communities where the deposit came from. That you got to do that by, I mean, if you don't, then the government is robbing somebody. So now the monies goes to the Federal Reserve. Federal Reserve clears the monies, and then it goes to the exchange commissioners. The exchange commissioner sends the deposit back to the community where the deposits came from. Now, our deposits, because black folks don't have zip codes, their communities is identified in the white communities. And all the monies is going to go back to the white banks because black communities do not have banks. So they are forced to put their monies in your bank, and you're taking our monies. I said, if our financials are not in order, this was my question and my statement, I told them, if our financials are not in order, what do you do with our monies in the meantime? Do you put it in a special escrow, and that escrow has been growing there for almost 100 years? Or do you, what do you do with our monies? If we're depositing and you're holding it, the church money, what do you do with it? Now, I know that there are ministers who come in here and might pick up a few millions here, but those ministers, when it comes to $1 trillion, every minister out here can be a crook, and it still would not touch that huge amount of monies that's being deposited. So don't blame it on the ministers. I want to know, where is our monies, and why do we have to be subject to what you're telling these our brothers and sisters who are not from this country, but this is our country. This is our monies. We're not asking the government to give us nothing. We're just saying to the government, to these banks, and we're saying that since the government invited us here, we're saying to the government and to the banks, where is the black man's monies? And as far as the African, as far as the government, we put just about another $1 trillion in taxations. Again, where is our monies coming back from the government? We certainly don't, there's no entitlements that pay us anything back from our taxes. So again, where is our returns even there? So again, this is why we had to come back. And I also asked them, how could you be holding such an important meeting without any African Americans being present? No one answered nothing to them. They were silent. We waited on their answer. They couldn't answer us. And at that point, I am going to now turn it over to Brother Aziz. He'll make his comments, and then we'll open our mics up. Brother Aziz.
Yes, thank you, Brother Bilal, and Assalamu alaikum. Greetings to our audience. Yeah, the meeting that we attended yesterday was a meeting that initially started out, it was going to be a National Muslim American Leaders convening. And as we moved on into it, got closer, the United States Department of Commerce put out a letter explaining it all, and they still had it as the National Muslim American Leaders convening, but it was given by the Commerce Department, and the part of the Commerce Department that it was given by was the Commerce Office of Faith-Based and Neighborhood Partnerships. Now, the objective of this here meeting was to, it was different government leaders. The Commerce, the Commerce Department Office of Faith-Based and Neighborhood Partnerships, they were working in a partnership with the Department of Defense, Office of Small Business Programs, as well as the other government officials. And what they were supposed to do is work with Muslim leaders, which these people at this meeting that we went to didn't seem like they were leaders in communities as we would say leaders. They looked like individuals that had businesses in African-American neighborhoods or had national businesses that were private. They wasn't leaders in no community or coming there to see how they could create businesses in their communities or anything like that. So when we saw that, the type of partnership they were talking about growing, and actually this was like wherein the leaders or the government officials that were there representing various companies, departments, government departments, they were there to say how they could offer help for you to get government contracts. And this wasn't what we would thought it was going to be in terms of having funds to put into the community for us to establish ways and means to get the word out there or to get the help to encourage people in our community not only to start businesses, those that did want to go into business, they wouldn't know where to go because even though we say the Office of Small Business Administration and these other organizations help African-Americans establish businesses and getting government contracts and that, well, that's not so. When it, you know, because the people that go to the Small Business Administration and that to put in for the government contract, they've gone through a network of a number of obstacles to qualify themselves to get what they call to be 8A. This is something that the government guys with engineers and, well, people that want to get contracts in the government, they come on in this 8A. status, and this 8A status allow you to get a piece of a bigger contract. You get a piece of that contract, whatever it is that you may supply or whatever your business is. So this was what it seemed to be that they were doing at that time, but it wasn't what we were told that it was going to be. And what we looked around and saw, as Brother Bilal said, we saw a number of different Muslim brothers and sisters that were from different cities, but they wasn't African American. We only saw one group of African American, two sisters. One of them was a doctor. She was running a medical facility, her own private medical facility in Philadelphia. And another sister was part of a company where her husband, who was an immigrant Muslim brother, they had a business where they were cleaning buildings, government buildings and things like that. Well, after that, those were the only, there was no other African-American besides Brother Bilal and I. And the rest of the Muslim brothers and sisters in there were immigrants. And had not we been told about this meeting that had been going on for a number of years, no one in our community would have really known about it. Now, what Brother Bilal and I did get out of it was some names and contacts within the government, the Department of Commerce, that we may be able to go to and see how we can work together to do some things that's needed for us to help promote businesses, not in the Muslim community, but in the African-American community. This is where our concern is about. Even though Brother Bilal and I are Muslims in particular, as well as one of our new helpers, Brother Rashid up in Delaware, we primarily are trying to promote African-American businesses in our community, get them the knowledge that they need to move forward and establish their businesses in our communities and be successful at doing that. And that's been our goal since starting out our program, blog programming. So when we saw that this meeting not only excluded us, but they really couldn't tell us how they could help us. And Brother Bilal and I, we come to the conclusion that we have to go back and tell them how they can help us and what we want based on all the opportunities that they say they have out there in the State Department, Department of Commerce, even the bus system, Metro Transit System in Washington, D.C. All these people that say they have money to put out into the community, but they're not putting any out there in the community that's going to benefit the community and try to get them upstarted. We do have some charter schools in metropolitan Washington, D.C., and in the metropolitan area too, but in D.C. in particular, we do have some charter schools where they are making great progress in the academics of our young black brothers and sisters, African-American brothers and sisters. But again, it could be increased. It could be better. Those same businesses that are investing monies in other places, they could be investing monies in the community in all those areas that we're talking about. But businesses, our young black youth, they don't have any inspiration to go into business on their own because they don't see any in the community. And the reason why they don't see any in the community, our brothers and sisters, when they're trying to go into business, the financials, as they say, aren't in order, but their business plan is great. And, you know, if you had this and your financials in order, we could get you the money. Well, that's where we're trying to come in with other leaders in our community to say, that part we want to eliminate. You got a good business plan with your financials and not in order. Well, we know for a fact, based on information we have, that Europeans, a lot of them the Caucasians, they can have the same problem and get approved and be given the help they need to straighten that up right away. And what I wanted to say is also we come to the conclusion at that meeting that there was still a huge amount of racism still going on within that system itself, right there where we were. One of the brothers for the government that spoke to us told us, he said, you know, one of the things a lot of the African-Americans do that are in the contracting business or getting contracts with the government, period, whatever it may be, though, but when you get a contract with the government, he say what a lot of them don't know that they need to have when they're getting that contract is get your company bonded. Make sure you get your company bonded, because if you don't, they'll turn you away from the contract and you won't be able to get it until the next go-around. And that could set you back tremendously because of that one little issue. But he say they don't tell you, they don't give you this information on the onset that these are the things that you need to do. They tell you about everything else except that fact that you need to get your company bonded. So there was a few things that we got out of it that could be beneficial to our community, but the biggest thing that we got out of it was the fact that there is still a lot of racism within the system itself. And being that we've been around a long enough time to be able to spot this racism and not use it as a point of getting angry and not being able to get anything done to make any progress, we've learned to take that anger and convert it into learning about where we're lacking at, as you know, as a people, and getting into where, you know, whatever the system is that we need to get in to get our businesses in there, and finding that information out and coming back and sharing it with our community, because that's what we want to do. We want to see our community become prosperous and be successful in the businesses so that the children will have a future. They can look and have ideas to promote bigger and larger ideas and businesses, and not just in the community, but all throughout the world. This is what we know we can do. We help African-American people help build America. This is just not me making a statement saying that. It's a part of the history. It can be, you can look this up and see it. All the inventions and everything we did and brought about and to help build this country. But in the business aspect, we always focus on, as we said, Black Belt Wall Street Business Association. That Black Belt Wall Street or Black Wall Street, that's something for us to always remember that was done before us. Our brothers and sisters were successful, even though they were successful because they were forced to do business with one another, and that was the impetus for them doing well. But in the process of doing business with one another and trying to be better than their Caucasian counterparts, they were so good at it that they became entrepreneurs whose businesses were sought after by people outside of the state of Oklahoma. Cattle barons down in Texas and other places wanted to borrow monies from them, as well as they send money back east to help get a business established in the east, in the south. Atlanta, Georgia, some of the insurance companies that were established in Atlanta, as well as other businesses, those are people from the Black Wall Street. So we know it can be done. We know how it was done. It was done by us doing commerce with one another. And what we saw at that meeting, our people didn't have access to the information to be able to do commerce with one another like these individuals we saw at this meeting. And we hold nothing against them whatsoever. We're just saying what we saw and the advantages and disadvantages that we had at this meeting as a people, not just as two individuals, Bilal Bynum and Abdul Aziz Shaheed. We didn't look at it that way. We just looked at it at the point that our folks, our people were left out of this, out of a knowledge base that they say that was put them in business. And we know African Americans had a number of businesses, these people, you know, but that was the first time we went there where we had an African American sister with us that was a medical doctor that set up her own medical facility outside the regular weight hospital or medical networks were set up, helping the community, and she was there to see how she would be able to get some of this business from all these various government agencies there. So I don't know how that worked out in that, but other than that, a lot of the information that we saw there, it can help us, you know, have an impact on our community as far as sharing information with them. And this is what this National Muslim American Leaders convening from the Office of Commerce, Department of Commerce, Office of Faith-Based and Neighborhood Partnerships. And that's something I'd like our listeners to remember, that the Commerce Department has an office called the Commerce Office of Faith-Based and Neighborhood Partnerships, OFBNP, at the Department of Commerce. And you may want to go look at this and see what their objectives are and what their goals are to do for the community. And all of it sounds good, and it could be very helpful to the community, but it's one of those things wherein you've got to know what they're talking about, and you've got to be able to have the assistance, the technology and the technical assistance, as well as, community procurement opportunities and community development toolkits for the Muslim American community to be able to know how to do this. And these toolkits come in the process in the area of having people there that can give you the technical assistance as well as the assistance in establishing your business, as well as what we do, help you network with other like-minded business. We also found out that in the process of setting up businesses in that, you may want to go into a business that is already too many of them in that area, like what you have. And based on scientific research, not hearsay in that, it's saying that the likeliness of you being successful the way you want to be is not good at all. Now, here's some places within this location, not far, that you can set up and enjoy some pretty good economic growth in your business. And this is a type of technical assistance of all departments you would have never thought of it. The Census Bureau furnishes that kind of information for you. The Census Bureau. If you want to go into a business and you want to find out how many businesses in the area, the Census Bureau could tell you, not only just in your area, in the whole state and the surrounding states. This is type of information they... Yes, sir, Brother Law.
I was wondering if... okay, now go right ahead. I wanted to get to some of the questions, but go right ahead.
The Census Bureau, they will give you that information on any type of business. Yes.
Brother, you know, when it got down to that Census Bureau, let me just say this. The government, like they said, they're trying to find information. That's why they want us to go in and fill out applications. That's why they say fill out these applications. You fill out all of these applications, and the government is saying, we're going to review these applications And if we see something that is valuable to us, then now you will be a person or a business of interest. So, again, the Census Bureau, the SBA, all of these agencies are saying we want to collect information and you tell us all about your problems. And then when you tell us about your problems, tell us how you was going to go about solving your problems. So the government and all of these businesses are trying to collect information on you so they can go. And like I said, if they see somebody that is valuable to them, they're going to go ahead and use that value. But if they see the many others are not in, so I'm saying, I don't see where our promoting, and I'm sorry, Brother Aziz, promoting these folks at all and saying how you can go to them for some help. The question of it is that, like I said, as African Americans, it's our monies. When you have to beg and apply, and that's what that was my message yesterday. And it's still my message today. The money belongs to African Americans. This coming Sunday, there will be another huge deposit. From Fridays, the Muslims will make their zakat, and their charity payments will go into the banks. On Saturdays and Sundays, our Christian brothers and sisters, they'll make their charitable deposits in their churches and what have you. Let me make my point. Before the weekend, there will be over $100 billion going into these Caucasian banks, and it goes there every week. And now you're talking about taking our, like I said, if we can't withdraw monies to stimulate our communities, like we can see the Caucasian communities being stimulated, then what are you doing with our monies? It's our monies. It belongs to the African Americans. So why should we be asking and begging and talking about entitlements? We don't want entitlements. We want our monies. So, again, this is why it's so important for African Americans to stop putting monies into these white banks. We must put monies into our own banks. We have to establish our own banks. We have a few banks right now. African Americans need to know, rather than knowing the Census Bureau, they need to know where these banks are. And they need to start depositing monies into these black banks, and we need to create new banks. We went to the government yesterday saying that we want our money so we can open financial institutions in our banks. We can open a businesses, stores, and what have you in our bank, in our communities. We can open schools. It's our monies. Again, I will repeat, this weekend, like I told those bankers, this weekend their banks will receive over $100 billion nationally, from and that's a moderate figure that they will be receiving this Sunday, from Friday to Sunday. Monday, the monies will be in their accounts, and it's been like that now for it's been like that for almost 100 years. So again, I didn't go to the government yesterday. And I wanted them to know I wasn't there asking for anything. I am there saying, where is our monies, and why is it that we have to go through what you're putting these foreigners through? Because what the foreigners are going through, we've already been through this. But the reason you're bringing these foreigners up in here is because you dare not bring African Americans up in here, because we're going to know that you're lying to us. But these new folks, you can use that the same tricks you've been using on us for over 100 years, but at least since 1965. The same reasons you've been using your excuses. Now you're taking these folks in, bringing them in anonymously, and telling them that they're the new Muslims Americans. African Americans have been the Muslims of America, not because we asked for it. It is because we started Islam in this country. There wouldn't be any of these Muslims over here if it wasn't for African Americans opening the doors. And we're the ones who had to go through the lynchings. We're the ones who had to go through the cold-blooded racism and the hate before these guys came over here. But now that they're here, they are using our communities, and they're going to be taking over our communities. This is what I mean about our communities is on life support. And that's what I saw yesterday. And even the government is telling these folks how they can get grants and finance by taking care of us. We don't need nobody taking care of us. We just need the white man to stop stealing our monies. Give it back to us. It's our money. Because, again, if we can go in there and withdraw, like I said, the only person that can withdraw those monies is a very few folks who run maybe the churches and our religious institutions. And I mention that because that's the biggest business in the African-American communities. Our largest business is our church,
yep,
and our masjid. And those two,
yep,
businesses bring in more than $1 trillion a year and all over this. And so if those we need those funds back in our own communities, making our own deposits in our own banks. And now the $1 trillion is back in our communities, rather than going to the white banks, and the white banks is circulating it in the white communities and giving you an excuse why you can't get your monies to grow in your communities. And that's just a direct picture. So, again, Brother Aziz, if you have a quick comment. If not, I'm going to go ahead to the mics.
Well, I did want to mention about the halal.
Go right ahead.
And at this conference yesterday, we were presented with two representatives from the USDA talking about the halal meaning what's permissible for Muslims to have in the food industry, not just other facets of halal, clothing, cosmetics, but in the halal food industry. And we had a lady, a sister there from Detroit, a doctor, and she was voicing her concern about not the Muslims not being able to get a halal standard that they could all go by and, you know, stop the confusion that existed there. And I brought it up that, look, I personally, myself and another brother, as well, our brother Isaac, may Allah forgive his sin and grant him paradise, and Imam Yusuf Salim of Washington, D.C., we were down at the USDA. Imam W.D. Muhammad sent Imam Yusuf Salim down and Brother Ajit there because we had established some legislation that we presented to the USDA for guidelines for what the halal meant and the guidelines that Muslims go by, not stepping on anyone's toes. Well, our problem came from the fact that the USDA had a couple Muslims there working, as these two guys we just saw yesterday, and they knew other guys out into the broader community, and it was a big complaint that they did not want this, they didn't need this, you don't need no guidelines. And I know Muslims back and forth were getting cited for corruption. They were talking and telling and snitching to the USDA on one another that they wasn't doing what they say they were doing. And they were getting fined for this stuff and all that. And the sister wanted to know, Well, what happened? I say I presented the legislation, and the Muslims were the ones to turn it down. They didn't want the guidelines. So there was a problem there, and what I'm saying is putting some guidelines there for us to go by so that we could have some calmness, some peace, something straightforward. It was presented by some African-Americans. And just like a lot of the other things that we do to better the community, we run into that kind of those type of obstacles. So it's important that we definitely learn to and start working together. And again, what Brother Bilal brought up and we've talked about for a couple weeks past, I mean, we told you about the black banks that existed in America, as well as not only the banks, some credit unions. We need to put our monies there, take them out of these big other banks and put them in some of the banks, our own people's banks. That's the only way we're going to be successful. But that's what I wanted to say about the halal, that there was guidelines tried to be put out there. Been doing it for a number of years, Brother myself and Brother Ajib, and we in Washington, D.C., and we got some kind of a standard put there, but it's not what we wanted. It's watered down, really watered down. But it was something that we got. We were told by our late leader, Imam Warfi, Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, he personally told Brother Ajib in our face-to-face that what we were doing was a good thing, and he supported us 100%, and it was the right thing. So I'm glad that we started doing that, and we're not going to give up on it. Eventually, New Africa Black Belt Wall Street Business Association, this is going to be part of what we're going to be doing. We're not just, this is part of the business to allow. So
brother,
that's what I wanted to say, Brother Bilal.
When we get our own sovereignty, and this is what black folks have to do, they have to start thinking like almost like having their own independent states or more than one state, but sovereignty,
yeah.
Our communities, and the way you get that sovereignty, the first thing you do in America is put your finance in order, and your monies has got to be right there where you are in control of your monies. That's why you have to have your own banks, because putting your monies in your own banks in your own communities, the monies now can start businesses. It can start growing the communities the way we want to grow it. We ain't got our dollar is too powerful, but we're just not in control of our dollar bills. White folks have been making slaves out of us ever since we got here, and the reason they want our slavery is because of the values that a slave can bring. So in the beginning of our coming here, it was called the Black Mud. The Black Mud. And what was Black Mud? That rich black soil that runs throughout the South, all the way from Texas to Virginia, to include Maryland and Delaware, because this is where slaves were put in those states. And the produce that came out of the grounds, all of the different produce, and we work the fields, we know what they are. But all of them made America the richest country in the entire world. And when I say America, I'm talking about white America. And made them the richest peoples in the entire world. And today, they make us consumers. They give you freedom, took the chains off of you. They give you freedom, but they never give you justice. And so because of that, you're living so-called free, but there's nothing justified about what they can and what they can't do to you. And taking your so today, they make certain that our communities, that Wall Street and every community that has tried to grow, Marcus Garvey. There has been the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. All of them have made great, huge business strides, but all of them have been destroyed by white supremacy. So again, and the reason that destruction goes on is because they know that if we control our own monies, we're no longer have a need for them. And so this thing about your monies in their banks are trying to force it as to where we can't have banks in their communities. The government and these bankers, the SBA, all of them, this is all intentionally done. And so African Americans, we need to start, and like I said, it starts with your monies. We need to get their monies out of their banks, and we need to put monies into our own banks where those banks will grow, and now they can stimulate growth in our communities. Our mics are open, brothers and sisters. We welcome your comments. All the mics are open. We welcome your comments.
We need to get his, brother Rashid still there. We need to get his comment on what we were talking about.
Our mics are open, brother Rashid, or anyone else who wish to make a comment at this time. I've opened their mics. They're no longer on mute. So again,
yes, sir. This is Nadir Rashid. Thank you again, brother Aziz. I was just going to put out there or ask, what is it that you think we need to do collectively in all of our black communities to get a seat from this point on at that table? I mean, is it some type of training that needs to be done? Is it, more of economics? What do we need to do as black communities across the country to be one of the people, one of the participants at these types of events? Because like you both just said, had you not gone, it doesn't look like the black community was even invited.
Yeah.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
Well, let me get a shot at answering this question, if you don't mind, maybe you can go first.
Go ahead, Brother Bilal.
Yeah, brothers, after hearing their requirements and all the requirements that they were talking about that we need to do as far as paperwork and what have you, I was considering putting in a national grant to Black Belt Wall Street, New Africa Business Association. Because what we do and what we've been doing for the last eight years is doing everything we can to bring monies into our communities for all types of businesses and advanced training. So, again, as far as knowing how to put that grant together, and the cost it would get to have a professional grant writer along with all the other professionals that you would have to have, New Africa Business Association and most of our professional directors are in a position to do just that. So the cost wouldn't be as high if we put the grant in, and that grant would be for a national appropriations. And of course, like I said, if our churches are putting in $1 trillion a year, then of course that's the type of monies that we need to see coming back. It may not be $1 trillion. But you can certainly be talking somewhere in the billions. because, again, the monies belong to us. It's our monies. And so that's the so as far as the government's requirements, as far as the grants and the paperwork, our association or someone who might be listening may be considering. But it would, our association would be representing African Americans throughout this nation. And to represent that many, you're going to need all types of administrators. We would have to almost become a civil service organization ourselves. But that's what is needed as far as growing a community that's been used. And like as far as I am concerned, enslaved. We was enslaved in the fields, and now we're enslaved as consumers, because 97-98% of all African Americans are consumers, and we're forced to put our monies into the Caucasians' business establishments and that forced those from our business society and our federal government, and of course our state and local governments are all right there doing the same thing. African Americans are a long ways. We're being cheated. We're being cheated. We're being robbed as far as I am concerned. But as far as answering your question and applying, going and saying we're going to do what the put in for the grant, and then through the grant session, we will ask for assistance for all the African-American communities in this country, because that's where the money is coming from our communities. So that's where the monies have to be put back. That's my, yes.
Yes. I was going to say, Brother Rashid, what Brother Bilal has said, and that basically that was the route I was going down. However, as a precursor to that, I was going to say that I wanted that we needed to establish a public relations type of position wherein we could go around to the black neighborhoods, the mega churches and that, and talk to them and tell them what we represent is what we, you know, New Africa Black Belt Wall Street Business Association. And this is what we're coming around talking to the community about, promoting black businesses, organizing businesses. Those that want to get into business, we want to have a session with them, have this plan out where it's not just something we just drop in. Let them know we want to have this black business meeting, and we want to inform the community about opportunities that exist for them, and this is how we're going to do it. Have an outline program. That's part of the New Africa Black Belt Wall Street Business Association PR department. Everything Brother Bilal said, in addition to the PR part, that was my answer to the whole question, Brother Rashid, having the PR part, and then what Brother Bilal was talking about, the funds and everything to establish these entities we need in the community to get the growth going. And I just think that's the way to do it, because we do have in the United States what is called the U.S. Black Chamber of Commerce. We have a Black Chamber of Commerce in Washington, D.C., and Virginia and that. Now, I only know this because we looked that up, Chamber of Commerce. Do we know anything about what they do? Do we hear anything about them on the soul radio station, the black radio station and all of this? No. No outreach there at all. So that's another place that we would be going to later on, talking to them and wondering why, what's up with them that they don't let the community know about if they're a Black Chamber of Commerce, it must be businesses, members that are a part of businesses that exist. What may they be doing in the community? These are things that once we got out there, we could see what we could do by, again, networking with like-minded people and promoting, you know, and promoting and researching to get to where we want to go with all those different ways we have to get to that point. So that's what I that's my answer to Brother Rashid, if that helps any in understanding what my point of view. And then please offer us what you have to say also, brother.
Well, I'm hearing you 100%. One of the things I shared with a brother, we got into a conversation regarding, as you both just mentioned, in Black communities, 99% of all businesses, convenience stores, et cetera, restaurants in Black communities are not owned by Black people. And what I was telling him, and this may sound harsh to our listeners, and I pray it's not taken any other way than my sincerity as far as us changing the makeup of things, because I told him what, in my opinion, people within those Black communities should do is boycott those businesses for the next 3 months. Don't buy even a bag of chips out of there. And eventually those owners will, hey, two for one, what's going on? I still wouldn't buy a cup of ice from them. And eventually, once they leave, my prayer would be that the community, somebody or people or a group of people within the community would take that business over and it would be a Black-owned business. But we are part of the problem, in my opinion, because our spending habits are still with other people instead of ourselves. And I just believe that, I mean, that's a small nugget of what he and I talked about, but I was just thinking of all of the convenience stores and restaurants and businesses in the Black community. They're owned by everybody but us, and we support them to the 10th power. But once we see a business that's owned by us, I mean, look at how we act. We even take a different approach. If you own a business, Brother Bilal or Brother Aziz, Black people will ask you for a hookup. Hey, you tell them how much your price is. Hey, man, can I get a – but we don't ask Walmart for a hookup. We don't ask Target for a hookup. We don't ask anybody else for a hookup. But when it comes to us, that's what we do. And I was sharing with the same brother, because I'm from Birmingham, Alabama, so I have a serious history. But it's a slave mentality because we give every other group so many opportunities but each other. And I was telling this brother that if a white mechanic messed your car up, you take it to another white mechanic to fix it. If a white dentist messed your teeth up, you go to another white dentist to fix your teeth, et cetera. But let a Black mechanic, see, that's why I don't fool with brothers, man. You always, we give everybody else so many more opportunities than each other. And in my opinion, that is the beginning of what's got to change, mindset-wise, spending habits-wise, because we are the ones who are making these businesses flourish in our Black communities. We're the one. If we stop buying there, what are they going to do? Because people don't come to the hood or different communities outside of there to shop in there. It's us. And I think that, in my opinion, that's the beginning of what has to happen, Black Wall Street mindset, to where the dollars need to flow within our communities with us. But we're helping everybody else climb the ladder except each other.
Brother Rashid, you have my right on the nail, brother. This is what we've been talking about for the last 8 years. Different subjects, different topics, but it all comes up to what you just said. That's what I mean about African Americans must have their own sovereignty. But we can have that sovereignty. Like you said, the businesses in our community, the Black dollar is keeping these folks making money. When the Black folks said, I'm not going to give you my money no more, what you going to think is going to happen to those white folks who have the business?
Yep.
They're going to go, they're going to be damn, they're begging you to do business or the break and loiter for all kinds of stuff. But again, your objective is to take back your communities. You don't have to do anything physical. You just have to stop making them rich and making, like you said, and I'm stopping making you rich, and I'm start taking care of myself, and myself means me and my family and my community. So that's what this is all about. That's what this is all about. We have the power. But like you said, we give that power away. And we start with giving away our monies, because that's what they want from us, is our monies. And brothers, so you're hitting it right on the head. Brothers and sisters, our mics are open. We welcome your comments.
You know, Brother Azizi, I wanted to say, in different businesses we have, like we have one business that's advertised on our website, Brother Sells Soup, fine-made soups, Italian wool, gabardine, wool gabardine, nice, very nice soups. I own a number of them. Well, these soups, you get them made over there, going to the manufacturer getting them. The same place these other Macy's and other big stores are going to get them, same places, same material, same good quality, but the price is not the same. The brothers selling them for a much, much less price, much, much less, and you're getting the same quality. Well, the point I wanted to get to in establishing businesses, a lot of African Americans nowadays, especially the youth, and a lot of us old heads, too, we wear these leisure outfits, like they call them athletic outfits, Nikes, Adidas, the pants, the shirts, the tennis shoes, and that. Well, that same material, whether it be the Adidas, the Nike shirt or the pants, or the shoes, those same quality of materials, and the shoes the same. We could buy that and get those made at the same prices. I'm talking about tennis shoes made. Those same, when you buy a pair of Nike tennis shoes without that logo on them, you can get those same tennis shoes made over in Korea or China. Same design and all that, but not the same logo. For $5 a pair, based on the fact, let's say, you're going to buy a 1,000 pair of them or 500 pair. And same with the outfits, the sports outfits, the Nike pants and the jackets that a lot of people be wearing. Those same outfits, you can get them made the same fine quality and sell them for $50 and still be making a profit. That's how big of a profit margin it is on all of that stuff. And this is the kind of knowledge that our people need to know, because there's guys in the neighborhood that do have that kind of money that can easily, five or six brothers got $10,000, and they got that hookup. We got a hookup over in China. The brother that sells the suits down in Mississippi, he's on our website. All the information. Can get all that kind of information. And I asked the brother, Alex, he said, yeah. We can get all that done. So I just wanted to let them know there are so many opportunities that exist out there. We don't have to go to these shops and get stuff like that. When we can buy these type of things, and we can buy that stuff specifically designed to fit African-American bodies. You know, just a few different changes and some of the alterations. The pants, probably, you know. Some of my brothers are bigger than others, but other than that, you know, the same quality stuff, the same size shoes, same quality. So there are opportunities out there that exist that on the New Africa Black Belt Wall Street Business Association that we can share with our listeners. How you can have contact to get access to these opportunities that I just spoke of. We have people that can get you access to this stuff. Act as your broker between the Chinese. We actually have African Americans out of the Muslim community that's over in China that can speak the Sichuan, speak the Chinese well. And that's one of the things he do is, you know, broker business, working with the other members in the community that's selling wares that's made over there. That's who's making everything. We don't make anything hardly here in America anymore. We do with such a high cost put on it, you know, for production, the labor-wise, and everything. That's why all the businessmen take it out of America and get it made for dirt cheap and bring it back in, sell it for, you know, 100 times the cost. So, you know, these are the type of things that we have to deal with in establishing businesses if we decide to start making something here. But if we're not making it, those opportunities exist for us the same as exist for those when we go to these stores and buy all of this apparel as well as other things, stereo that we get. We can do that too. So that's what I had to, some more that I had to offer on what I had to say about opportunities that exists for us together if we wanted to,
brother,
do that as well as individual.
Brother Aziz, I'm on a challenge starting myself and our listeners because I wear suits. I'm a suit guy. And from this point on, from this day on, all of the suits I buy will be from that source you mentioned that's on the website. I'm going to check it out. And I would challenge each and every one of our other listeners who wear suits or who wear the type of gear you were mentioning, let's take the first step and start buying from us.
Right.
Let's take that first.
Exactly.
That's the first step that has to take place. And then hopefully it'll catch on and it'll move us to another level. I really believe, and it may sound bad to a person who owns a business in the black community that's not black, but I personally think we shouldn't spend another quarter in there and until eventually they have to close the doors because we are the ones keeping them in business. But I am definitely, from this day forward, any suit I purchase, I don't know how many varieties they have, but I'm definitely going to look into it and start purchasing from us. So I appreciate you making us aware of that.
Let me just say, Brother Aziz, add to what you're talking about. New Africa Black Belt Wall Street, we have imports and we have exports, and we've had connections with importing goods for a number of years. Brother Aziz and I both have traveled, in the Arabian areas. And yes, it would blow your mind on, and you're talking about valuable material. When you start talking gold, these countries, when it comes to something like 14-ounce gold, they won't even sell it to you. They think that stuff is toys, a 14-ounce gold. We pay all kinds of money for something that's been cut down, a liquidated down so thin to the gold. No, they want their gold 18 carats and higher. 18 is about the minimum that they're going to even sell you, and I'm saying the price. Very, very. You have I mean, I myself, and I hate to talk about a splurging, but because the prices were so low, I got over here and the money was 8-1 for every American dollar. I can multiply my money's times 8. Was 7 after they took the fee. But if I could multiply my money's times 7, that means that for every $1,000 that I have, my $1,000 now is $7,000. So again, if I see, which I did see, I've always wanted me a Rolex watch. But I know those $40,000 and $50,000 prices, I couldn't. But over there, American money, American money, I could pull out $1,000 of American monies, and that was $3,500. So again, I think the Rolex is going for something like $5,000. I might have added another $500, around $1,500. And today, I have it insured. I wear it occasionally. So this is the kind of wholesale buying, valuable material.
Yeah.
And just like our brother Aziz was saying, as far as sneakers and stuff like that, Sanders. Mm-hmm. I have a pair of Sanders that I bought back from there years ago. And these Sanders, now in America, I was wearing them one day, and the guy said, man, you know, Sid told me I had paid something like $50 for these Sanders. That's what it, and I ain't say anything because I know I only paid around $5. But that's what Sanders are selling for over here. So, again,
yeah. You
see, this is what I mean about Americans controlling their own finances to where they can go into business. Once we go into business, the entire world out there is waiting on us. Everybody wants to do business with the African American. Love doing that. Not mm-hmm. only do they want business with you, they want to meet you and talk with you and all kinds of stuff because, face it, folks, we are unique peoples. Very mm-hmm. unique with a very unique history. And
they want to know how to survive.
Yeah, that's the truth. But they love meeting with African Americans. And many
yeah.
countries have come to, what was the last one? What was the name of the country in Europe, our brother Aziz?
Kazakhstan.
Yeah, that was the most. Just a few months ago, they had their leaders, even their own president of the country, was inviting us to come to business sections, and they've already told us that they're waiting to do big time wholesales, and they specialize in electronics. They specialize in electronics, so all of that is wholesale prices. So huge businesses we can go in is waiting on
yeah.
us. But again, we have to become vested with each other, and become invested is putting our monies in our own banks, our own credit unions, our own financial institutions. Brother Aziz, I don't know if you have the list, but maybe next week we're going to read off those banks again to everyone but we need to start putting our monies into these African American banks, and then we start as those banks grow, now new banks can start arriving in our country, in our communities. But like I said, we have a pool of monies. This coming Sunday, I'll repeat it, between our mass jets and our churches, this coming Sunday, from Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, Monday, there will be over $100 billion put into the white folks' banks. If we could take that $100 billion starting this Sunday and start circulating, look how many banks we could put in our communities in just one weekend. Just think what would happen in a month's time. That type of money circulation is growing in our communities. A year from now, yes, the same way Black Wall Street was living back in Greenwood, the Greenwood District, we would have it all over the United States and all of our communities. Our communities, again, would be outdoing anything in America because we will have our own business plans, our own communities, and it would be ran the way we want to run them because we own them. Ownership is everything, brothers and sisters. So again,
I pull that list up for you.
If you want,
and here's
let's see if we have anybody who want to make any comments, real quick.
All right.
Our mics are open, brothers and sisters. We're gonna give everybody a chance to speak. Anyone want to make any comments? Our mics are open. We welcome your comments. Okay, we still got a quiet audience. And Brother Aziz, go right ahead and give them the informative information. This is banks. These are black banks that are in service as we speak. And I can tell you right now, these black banks are not getting the deposits that we should. They should be getting. Just as an example, the white banks, and we'll use my bank. And what's the big bank I'm thinking of, Aziz? And I know I bank with them.
Andrews Federal Credit Union.
Bank of America. Bank of America is reported to their assets. Those are the deposits that we as African Americans, along with other, is putting into a Bank of America's bank. Their assets was 5.6. Was it 5.6 or five? Was $1 trillion. That's what they had in assets. So that's because, so that's the margins of how big the white banks and our black banks, they still in business, but their deposits are very low because, number one, many of these black banks we didn't even know exist. But now that we do, we must start using these black because, again, these banks are already incorporated. We don't have to worry about trying to say we need to start a bank. No, we just need to put our monies in the banks that we already have, let those banks grow, and then and grow larger from there. So go right ahead, Brother Aziz. Give us that information about the black banks that we have.
Okay, I was saying it was 23 black banks. Or financial institutions owned by African Americans. And they said that, first of all, as Bilal was saying, black banks have far fewer assets at their disposal than the major players in the banking industry. One United, the largest black-owned bank in the U.S., manages around $625 million in assets. In comparison to, as Bilal said, Bank of America, who manages nearly $2.5
trillion.
Major difference. Major difference. $625 million, $2.5 trillion. Okay. Now I'm going to get down to the black-owned banks, financial institutions, starting out alphabetically. In Alabama, we have Alamerica Bank, Citizens Trust Bank, and Commonwealth Bank. That's three. Next is Arkansas. We have one bank in Arkansas called Hope Credit Union. I think that's a church credit union that they got going on. California, as large as it is, one black bank called Broadway Federal Bank. Now we get to the District of Columbia. Unlike people would think, we have a bank called Phi Beta Sigma Federal Credit Union. We have Howard University Employees Federal Credit Union. And then we have First City Bank. That's in the District of Columbia. Okay, in Florida, we have one black bank, and it's called FAMU Federal Credit Union. And that FAMU, F-A-M-U, is Florida A&M University. I'm real familiar with that. Okay, next one is Georgia. We have a bank called Carver State Bank. And then we have another bank called Omega Psi Phi Fraternity Federal Credit Union. Then we go down to Illinois. We got a bank called GN Bank, just one. Next is Indiana, Mount Zion Indianapolis Credit Union, just one bank there in Indianapolis. Mount Zion, you know that's got to be attached to a church. Okay, then we have then in Kansas, we have one bank called Liberty Bank. After Kansas, Kentucky. We have one black bank in Kentucky, and that's called Liberty Bank. Next is Louisiana. Louisiana has one bank. It's called Southern Teachers and Parents Federal Credit Union. Now that's what we're talking about. We're talking about some blacks getting together and putting their money together down in racist Louisiana. I admire those people for doing what they're doing. All right, in Maryland, we have Harbor Bank of Maryland, Municipal Employees Credit Union of Baltimore. We have Andrews Federal Credit Union. We have Democracy Federal Credit Union. And we have Industrial Bank in Maryland. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in Maryland. Okay, in Massachusetts, we have the largest bank that manages assets of $625 million, and that is One United Bank. That's in Massachusetts, One United Bank. The next state is Michigan, and Michigan has two banks. The first one is First Independence Bank, and then another bank called Liberty Bank. Okay, the next state is Minnesota. And it has one bank, which is probably brother or sister of the bank in Michigan. And this bank is First Independence Bank again. And that was one of the two banks that was in Michigan, First Independence Bank. The next state is Mississippi. The second one is Hope Credit Union. And the third one is Liberty Bank. And that may be associated with the Liberty Bank that's in Michigan. The next state is Missouri, and it has one bank, and that's St. Louis Community Credit Union. The next black bank, the next state is Montana. Wow. We have one black bank in Montana, and that's called City First Bank. Next state is New Jersey. New Jersey has two black banks. First bank is called Messiah Baptist Church Federal Credit Union. And the second bank is called Andrews Federal Credit Union. So New Jersey isn't too far from Maryland. All right, after New Jersey, and also Industrial Bank in New Jersey. Next state is New York. It has three banks, three black banks, Carver Bank, Urban Upbound Federal Credit Union, and Industrial Bank. That was in New Jersey also. The next state is North Carolina. We have Mechanic and Farmers Bank. That's one, and the second one is Greater Kingston Credit Union. That must be run with Kingston, North Carolina. The next state is Ohio, and it has three banks, African-American banks, Adelphi Bank, Toledo Metro Credit Union, and then Toledo Urban Federal Credit Union. The next state is Oklahoma. It has one black bank, First Security Bank and Trust Company. First Security Bank and Trust Company. The next state is Pennsylvania, and it has two black banks, United Bank of Philadelphia and Hill District Federal Credit Union. That's United Bank of Philadelphia and Hill District Federal Credit Union. The next state is South Carolina, and it has three black banks. The first one is Optimus Bank. The second one is Palmetto Health Credit Union. And the third one is Brookland Federal Credit Union. And that, again, is Optimus Bank, Palmetto Health Credit Union, and Brooklyn Federal Credit Union. The next state is Tennessee. It has three black banks in it. The first one is Citizens Bank. The second one is Hope Credit Union. And the third one is Liberty Credit Union. And that, again, is Citizens Bank, Hope Credit Union, and Liberty Credit Union. And the last one is Texas. Nope, not expected. The next one is Texas. And Texas has four African-American banks, black banks. First one is Unity National Bank. The second one is Faith Cooperative Credit Union. The third one is Mount Olive Baptist Church Federal Credit Union. And the fourth one is Oak Cliff Christian Federal Credit Union. Again, the first one is Unity National Bank, Faith Cooperative Credit Union, Mount Olive Baptist Church Federal Credit Union, and Oak Cliff Christian Federal Credit Union. Now, we go to the state of Virginia. Virginia has four black banks. The first one is Virginia State University Federal Credit Union. The second one is Andrews Federal Credit Union. The third one is Democracy Federal Credit Union. And the fourth one is Transit Employees Federal Credit Union. And that is, again, Virginia State University Federal Credit Union, Andrews Federal Credit Union, Democracy Federal Credit Union, Transit Employees Federal Credit Union. And the least and the last is Wisconsin. Wisconsin has one black bank. and it's called Columbia Savings and Loan Association. That's Columbia Savings and Loan Association. And that is it, Brother Blount, on the number of banks we have in the state. And as everybody noticed that we didn't have African-American banks in every state.
Brother Some Aziz,
states that don't have banks. Yeah.
Yeah, thanks so much for that report, Brother Aziz. Again, brothers and sisters,
right.
Our mics are open. We welcome your comments. All right, we still have a quiet audience, which is fine. Speak when you will feel like it. If not, then we will try to be as informative as we possibly can. But and, of course, if our memberships grow to where we think they should be, we will be opening a credit union. New Africa Black Belt Wall Street. We look forward
yeah.
to opening the first credit union. And hopefully we can have them all over the country. But we get the membership growth that we think we should have, or because that's where our power is going to come in, brothers and sisters. I heard the Department of Commerce said that they had a membership following. This is banks and businesses and what have you. Of about 50,000. And I am saying, I look at that as small compared to where we are talking about going. We have to, and I'm talking about Sears growth. But memberships, we need your memberships. We can't do nothing without you being a member. So we asked, our website is being upgraded. I think it's going to be concluded tomorrow. So you'll be able to go on our web and, of course, look over our web pages. There's all types of information. But we want you to eventually go to membership and join New Africa Black Belt Wall Street Business Association. And, of course, that's, again, New Africa Black Belt Wall Street. .com, New Africa Black Belt Wall Street .com, and you should be able to come
yeah.
right in. Like I said, we're being upgraded, but I understand it will be completed by tomorrow. So we ask that you and tell your friends, we need memberships. We need memberships. I can't put enough emphasis on that. So, again, brothers and sisters, our mics are still open. We have about 15 more minutes. If anyone have any comments, we'd love to hear your comments, and we welcome your comments at this time. Our mics are open.
Well, Brother Bilal, you know, the last portion of our show normally is always on disaster prevention for the upcoming climate control disasters that the scientists foresee coming. Well, I wanted to say that down in South Florida right now, they're getting a pretty good beating up from the rain and what they call you know, when the water comes on shore, real heavy storm surge.
Yeah, to get flooded.
And, well, that's what it is, brothers. And it's going to be devastating on them.
Yes.
It's not no little fly by night flood.
No.
It's a lot of rain coming up out of the Pacific, and it's going to be coming up out of the Western Caribbean, like North Caribbean, like.
Yes.
And people are going to.
It's El Nino.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's been coming up all the Gulf Shores and all, and it's coming right on through Florida.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's gonna hurt them. It's gonna do some flooding, a lot of flooding.
Oh yes, and we know the El Nino was caused by going up in our atmosphere.
That's right.
They said that the Iceland still is warm. They still haven't frozen up the ice in Iceland and the North Poles. It's still warm. Those glaciers are still melting. The sea is warmer and it's rising. And so areas like Florida, many, many areas, it's going to be sort of devastating.
That's right.
We've never seen unless we do something about our climate. But then again, I'm not a scientist. Like you said, our scientist, she is out, but she's not out. What it is, the same type of meetings that we went to here at the Department of Commerce, President Biden is the one who put these business meetings and told these departments to have these business sessions. Here in Washington, D.C., like I said, Brother and Aziz went to one where African Americans weren't necessarily invited because this was for someone else. But we got our invitation. They invited us. We went, and we're telling you what happened at that event. But the president has also put this out throughout all of the regions. And, you know, when it comes to a region, you're talking about at least four different states that makes up a region. And, of course, we learned all of this from our scientist, Sister Aisha, because she is a scientist and she's a FEMA specialist. She's taught these subjects in universities and to the government, and she's written so many essays on disasters and national disasters and how you mitigate the situation, hopefully, if it comes to any survivors. But anyway, she is at one of the regents conference that the Department of Commerce is having all over this country because Joe Biden has put out this recovery information. And she told me that the same things we are hearing here in Washington, D.C., these regions that she's going to, African Americans are there rather than foreigners. And of course she said that most of the those in attendance in the regions, of course, is our Christian sisters and brothers, and Muslims and all, they're all right there mixed together, but of course our Christian sisters and brothers is our majority. are all there, and they're hearing the same thing that you need to put together your paperwork and the reasons why you're not getting loans, grants, was the same thing I expressed earlier about. We just do mistakes. Financials is keeping us qualified. Well, that's the same thing they're hearing. So, you know, remember, it's election time. And Joe, the president, and this is my opinion, the president is having these meetings on racism is what he's having the meetings on. He's actually said that he realized black folks are being discriminated against and that the system is unfair. So these meetings are going on. And like I said, we went to one, but when it comes to a cash flow going to our communities for recovery, you don't have anyone saying that can happen. You just have them saying the training that you have or what we have to teach you in order for you to get this and that, or the applications, the paperwork. Then, of course, all of these banks, after the government finished with you, you're sent to all of these banks, and they're going to put you through this and that, and at some point reject you. Something is wrong that you can't get the money. So this is going on all over the country, but to me, the president is trying to give us a promissory note. And that promissory note will never be any good. It's just a promissory note, and at some point, it will just fade away. But it will never be no value to it. And because, again, we're not asking the government for anything. We're merely telling the government to give us back what belongs to us, or our due share of what has been put into the economy of this country to keep a democracy going. Where is our share? We've never received our share back in our communities. And it's time to ask the question, why? What are you doing with the monies that belongs to us? Whether it's monies we're putting into the banks or monies that we put into taxations, where is our advancements from all the entitlements that the government pay out? They talking about now sending Israel $14 billion. And my goodness, what they have sent to Ukraine. And then the entitlements that they send all overseas. Our government is spending monies all over the world from one group to another one, seeing which is an advantage for America. We're just
For white America, Bilal.
For white America, because that's who is. But again, all of us are used as pawns. To get whatever is given. But African Americans, like I said, we're due our share. because it belongs to us. So, brothers and sisters, that is what we experienced, or what we went and observed. Brother Aziz, you have any closing remarks? You can do so now. I'm sorry, Brother Rashid, if you have, we have another director. We'll start with Brother Rashid. Do you have any closing remarks? And we'll start with you. Brother Rashid. Okay, apparently Brother Rashid don't have any closing remarks. I guess he's still with us. But anyway, Brother Aziz, you have any closing remarks?
Yes, sir. I just want to tell our listeners to remember, invest your money in banks that's going to give back to you, and that is invest in black banks. That's what we have to do. That's a must for all our African-American listeners. Thank you.
If you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? How long have you hated your white teacher? Who told you you loved your black preacher? Do you respect your brother's woman friend and share with black folks not of kin? People must prove to the people
a better day is coming
for you and for me. With just a little bit more education
and love for our nation
would make a better society. Now some of us would rather cuss and make a fuss than to bring about a little trust. But we shall overcome, I believe, someday, if you'll only listen to what I have to say.
And how long have you held your white teacher?
Who told you you love your black preacher? Can you respect your brother's woman friend and share with black folks not of kin? I say now people must prove to the people
a better day is coming
for you and for me. With just a little bit more education
and love for our nation
would make a better society. And if you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? And if you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? If you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose?